إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم ومن والاه بعد. My brothers and sisters, inshallah المستعان, in roughly how long? 2 weeks or less than 2 weeks, we will enter Ramadan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about this month, كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ السِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. Allah said that fasting has been prescribed for you, has been written for you, as it was, as it had been prescribed for those before you, so that you become muttaqoon, so that you become those who fear the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because they love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The question therefore is not how long is it before we enter Ramadan, because there is only one condition that is required for us to enter Ramadan, which is that we continue to be to remain alive. As long as we are alive, we will enter Ramadan. There is no uncertainty about that. There is no anxiety about that. As long as you are breathing, you will enter Ramadan. The whole world will enter Ramadan. Every Muslim, every non-Muslim, every bird, every tree, every animal will enter Ramadan. So that's not the question. The question is, what did Allah say about Ramadan? Allah said, fasting, which is Ramadan al-Kareem, has been prescribed upon you so that you will become muttaqoon, so that you become those who have taqwa, so that you become those who are concerned about the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore, the question is not whether we will enter Ramadan or not. The question is whether Ramadan will enter us or not. What do I mean by saying Ramadan will enter us? Ramadan is another name for taqwa, because that's the purpose. It's not just a matter of counting the dates from this date to that date. The purpose is to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to want to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to love us. This is the purpose of Ramadan. If we focus on what we normally do in Ramadan, and of course there are exceptions to this, but I'm talking about the general public. One is, we have endless controversies about whether we should begin fasting today or tomorrow because of moon sighting, and then endless controversies about whether we should actually see the moon or whether we should do some calculation or what this and that and the other. The hadith is perfectly clear. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, see the moon and start fasting, see the moon and stop fasting. If you have not seen the moon, complete 30 days of the previous month. That is it. So there is no need to have any controversy, because the hadith is perfectly clear. He said, see the moon and start fasting. So if you see the moon, you start fasting. If you don't see the moon, you don't fast. There is no need to have any conflict with anybody. There is no need to, you know, have endless, needless and worthless arguments. But this is what we do. Then the other thing we do is, we have endless arguments about whether we should pray 8 rakat of Taraweeh or 20 rakat of Taraweeh. Right? Now the point is, again, what is the purpose of Taraweeh? Purpose of Taraweeh is to listen to the Quran al-Kareem, is to read the Quran al-Kareem. The purpose of Taraweeh is to spend more and more time in the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because especially in this month, we are looking at a month which came in order to train us to be muttaqoon. What is the first step to becoming muttaqi? Is salah. The one who has left salah, even if he leaves one salah, he has left Islam. Now, I am not making the fatwa. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said this. So, where is the question of taqwa? The man is not even Muslim. If a person leaves one salah and dies, he is dying on kufr, he is not dying on Islam. Even if he prayed all his life, he left one salah deliberately, and then he dies, that person has died without Islam. As simple as that. So, we are not talking about the first salawat. Here, the Taraweeh is to reinforce the importance of salah, to bring within us a love for the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, obviously, the more you do, the more beneficial it is for you. I am not even talking about the sawab of 10 hasanat per letter of the recitation. We know all of these things. My point is, how conscious are we about that? If I am conscious of the fact that on the day of judgment, the difference between Jannah and Jahannam will be one hasana, not 10, one hasana. And I am conscious of the fact that when I am reading the Quran or listening to the Quran in Taraweeh and the Imam said Alif Lam Mim, how many hasanat did I get? 30. 30 hasanat. If I am conscious of this, that I actually got 30 hasanat simply by standing there and listening to Alif Lam Mim, then will I leave that salah early or will I want that salah to go on long? Seriously, we have to ask this question. If you are saying, I can understand, you are praying 8 rakat for some, you know, special reason, you can't stay there for longer and so on and so forth. But if you are just doing it out of laziness, which is what, may Allah forgive us, this is what most people do. It's not a matter of, they're not doing it because of fiqh, they're not doing it because this is the sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam as far as tahajjud is concerned. It's not a sunnah for Taraweeh. But people make all these arguments. Anyway, my point is, you're not doing it for any of those dalail. You're doing it for one reason, because you are lazy. That's it, period. Then what does that say about your iman? Leave the fiqh out of it. What does it say about your iman when, on the one hand, you say and you believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is distributing, to give examples of gold coins and so on is ridiculous, because the value of one hasana cannot be expressed in terms of gold or silver or US dollars or whatever it is, right? But I'm saying, if you really believe that here is this wealth which is being freely distributed, are you going to just walk away from that and say, I don't want this wealth, and then tell me that you actually have iman that this is wealth? I mean, we have to seriously ask ourselves this question, who am I fooling? It is very important that we never lie to ourselves, because this is our lives are lies to ourselves, as simple as that. On the one hand, you say that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's hadith that, and he said very clearly, he said, when you read the Quran, Allah will give you 10 hasanat, 10 good deeds for every letter. And then to clarify, he said, I do not say that Alif Lam Mim is one letter. He said, Alif is one letter, Lam is one letter, Mim is one letter. 30 hasanat. And we, out of laziness, want to leave the salah early and go home and then do what? So our Ramadan is that. Our Ramadan is eating and drinking. And then making our servants cook and, you know, do all kinds of stuff for us. And a lot of the Muslim servants, they have to pray. We don't have any consideration for that. So the whole time they are spending in, you know, frying bhajiyas and samosas. Yeah, this is our Ramadan. Is this the purpose of Ramadan? Is this why Ramadan came? So that you eat and drink and you make big tamasha out of this and big festival. We don't have one Eid al-Fitr. We have Eid for 30 days. Every day is an Eid. Then the question of itikaf. We've got 101 reasons why we can't do it. The world will come to a stop. What will happen? The whole country will fall down. The sky will fall on our heads if I make itikaf. Seriously, we have to ask ourselves this question. What are you going to do? What am I going to do one day when we meet Malakul Maut? There is no doubt about that. That one day we will meet Malakul Maut. Every single one of us will meet Malakul Maut. Whether we are old or young or sick or healthy or strong or weak, anything. One day you and I will meet the angel of death. What are we going to do? This is what Ramadan comes for. Ramadan comes to remind us of this. Ramadan comes not just to simply remind us, but to give us an opportunity to accumulate as much good as we can accumulate. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the reward of fard for every nafil. He gives us the reward of 70 farth for every farth, whether it is salah or zakat or anything. Allah multiplies this reward. So the playing field is not level anymore. It's hugely skewed towards us, hugely skewed towards helping us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives sins. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens the doors of Jannah, closes the doors of Jahannam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala covers with rahmah. So many fadail of Ramadan, but for whom? For the one who practices, who makes the effort. For the one who Ramadan enters. Not the one for whom Ramadan is a date change. You know, now it is the first of Ramadan. Until now it was, you know, some other month was going on. Now this is a new month. For that person there is nothing. It's a date has changed. So what? Fasting is about, of course it is about not eating and drinking and so on. But fasting is also a complete training ground. That whole month is like a 1 month long training program. To train your eyes, to train your ears, to train your tongue, to train your hand and your feet. To be obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in Ramadan, we don't curse, we don't scream, we don't shout. We don't argue unnecessarily with people. We don't go into all kinds of needless arguments and politics and this and that. And then on the 30th of Ramadan, we can start all that. Everything becomes halal. Is it? The idea is to bring about a change in our entire life for the rest of the year and for the rest of our lives. So very important for us to remember that fasting is not only about this. Fasting is about behavior change. Fasting is about making our entire life, our entire beings obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. In every single aspect of our lives. In our aqidah, in our ibadat, in our muamilat, in our muashara, in our akhlaq. To make ourselves completely and totally obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What will be the result of this? The result of this will be that we will have a beautiful life in this life. We will spread goodness all around us. We will have people who will love us. And we will, inshallah al-musta'an, earn the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we will earn Jannah. This is the benefit of Ramadan al-Kareem. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Jalla Jalaluhu, to enable us to enter Ramadan with the awareness of what it is, so that Ramadan al-Kareem will enter us, so that the spirit of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will supersede everything else, and so that we will have the tawfiq to get the maximum benefit of this from our lives. Because as I keep saying again and again and again, we do not know whether this Ramadan will be our last Ramadan. The safest bet is to treat it as if it is our last. If it is not our last, if Allah gives us another one, another 10, another 15, another 10,000, alhamdulillah, no problem. Alhamdulillah. But as far as I am concerned, this is my last Ramadan. And I need to treat it as if this is my last Ramadan. I am not going to have another one. So let me make sure that I get the maximum possible benefit out of this one. And as I said, if Allah gives more, alhamdulillah. But if not, then at least I don't die with the regret that, oh, I wish I had done this. No, alhamdulillah, I did my best. And then whatever is the weakness of that, whatever is the forgetfulness of that, whatever I did not do, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to complete that and to fulfill it and to make it perfect out of His majesty and grace. But I must make sure that I do not leave any stone unturned. I must make sure that I do my scheduling. I do my programming of my life in such a way that I will have that free time to spend in the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all through Ramadan. Ask Allah to make this easy for us and to help us understand that, and so that we can do this with ease and we make the effort to do it. Not just ease. A lot of stuff in our lives we do not because it is easy, but because we want to do it. It's not easy. Abhinujate, he goes for snow leopard photography all the way to Leh and Ladakh in minus 30 in snow and ice and all. Is that easy? Is it easier to come one floor down to pray Salatul Fajr by Jama'ah? Which is easier? Seriously, we have to ask this question. I mean, I'm sorry if you get offended, please do get offended. I hope you get offended. I hope you get seriously offended, so you stop doing this rubbish. I mean, my point is, things which are so tough, which are really physically tough and difficult and so on, you do it because you like to do it. You do it because you like to do it. I spent 3 days sitting in jeeps and getting thrown from one end to the other. And then in the night one day, I had to actually eat a painkiller because my whole body was paining. Why did I do it? Because I'm bloody crazy. I love to see wildlife. I love to take photo. Did I do it because it's easy? So all the ease we look for only in deen. Inna lillahi wa inna ilaihi raji'un. Which is easier? To walk down a flight of steps and pray Salatul Fajr by Jama'a? Is this easy or is that easy? Running around. It's not haram, alhamdulillah. Photographing wildlife is not haram. I'm not talking about doing haram things. I'm saying halal things. But when it comes to the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we want to find all kinds of shortcuts. Like little rats, you know, running from one, finding a hole to get out from there somehow. Then all this fatwa, that fatwa, how can I pray less? How can I read less Quran? Inna lillahi wa inna ilaihi raji'un. The sahaba were the exact opposite of this. How can I do more? So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open our eyes and enter Ramadan in a way where it becomes beneficial for us and to treat every Ramadan, including this one, as if this is our last. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahim.